He said, we left off yesterday trying to be magdir, trying to define properly what is a barrier, what's not a barrier. So we realized that there are really three different Gemaras that have to be all connected in order to come up with the proper definition. We had our sugya that discussed about Agida Nosha. So Agida Nosha definitely is going to qualify as being a barrier. But there are other cases that don't seem to meet the criteria of barrier. And that was that tricky Gemara in Chul and Daf Kuf Beis. The Gemara tells us that a little bird is a barrier, but is not a barrier, depending what issue you're talking about. So if you're talking about the issue of Nevela, then barrier doesn't apply. If you talk about the issue of eating tray for birds, then barrier does apply. Then we had a whole Shachmataria in Makas Tafid Gimel, between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon, about Tevel, Chita, Kemach. But whether you say barrier of eating a whole grain of Tevel, like a Satanayim, again, the Gemara threw in a whole bunch of terms into that sugya. It was very, very difficult to understand exactly what is going on. So we have to put together all those pieces of the puzzle. So the first Shita that we're going to try to understand is Shita's Rashi. So go back to the seventh of the Marmakomas for a second. Excuse me, the Gemara again very quickly, and then Rashi's comments. So the Gemara says that Ochol Tzipotar b'chayev kol shehu, if a person eats a tohar bird, a permissible bird, but he ate it as an Eivim Menachai, he ate it b'chayeha, then there is no Shia. Then somehow barrier kicks in. We're going to leave out the Eivim Menachai part, because Eivim Menachai is going to complicate things. But b'misasa b'kizayis. But if you eat a dead bird, it was a kosher bird, so if you eat a dead bird that wasn't shechted, the only Isser involved is the Isser of Nevela. So for Nevela, you require kizayis. The Gemara is telling us explicitly, Isser Nevela doesn't lend itself to barrier, utameh. But if it's a non-kosher bird, then no matter what, even under all circumstances, you're going to be chayav kosher. So barrier kicks in when we're dealing with trade for birds. Barrier doesn't kick in when you're dealing with the Issa Nevela. Why? What's the difference? So Rashi explains. So Rashi on the spot, the seventh Rambam Kamas tells us, chayav. Why are you chayav for a small bird? The barrier, there's no need for a shear. As we know, the Mishnah we read yesterday, the same way that a little tiny ant, Yechayev Malchus for, so Yechayev and a little tiny bird, I'm a very super kosher. But now Rashi explains, Avalav the Nevela, when it comes to the Isser of Nevela, why don't I say I ate an entire bird? So why can't I say that Hilchus barrier should kick in and should be Mechayev Malchus for the Lav Nevela? Says Rashi, no. You can't apply the sugya barrier to the lav of nevela. The cheshen nivreis, that's the key word according to Rashi, when it was created, lohoya lashem nevela. Boom, says Rashi. Barrier requires that the iser be mitchilas briyasai. That has to be something that was created in the status of iser. If something was created in the status of heter and became usher at a later point, Rashi says, that is by definition not called a barrier. So size-wise, it's the same. Quantitative, it's the same. But conceptually, halakhically, it's very different. And that's why the law of Nevela parts ways from all the other examples of barrier. So let's go through in our minds the different cases of barrier that do appear in Chazal. We find barrier by tray for birds. Tray for bird is created in the Yisr. The first cell of tray for birds is also, as the bird grows and grows and grows, it's growing the Yisr. Well, let's say the example of Gidanosha. Gidanosha is Osir. As it grows, it grows, it grows, it grows, B'Yisr. So it's Nes B'Chilas B'Yisr. Or the bug in the Mishnah of Sefas Machas. As it's thought, the first cell of ant is Osir. As it grows, it grows, it grows, B'Yisr. In contrast to Nevela, a kosher bird, when a chicken is born, it's not Nevela yet. If and when, 6 months later, somebody shoots it, so then it becomes Nevela. So since the Isser Nevela is not an Isser Mitchilas Briyaso, therefore it is just not in the sugya, not the Parsha Beria. So it's a very, very easy phrase to remember according to Rashi. In order to be a Beria, it has to be also Mitchilas Briyaso. Creation is critical according to Rashi. Hilchos Rashi says, Alav the Nevela L'machayev at Kizayis. Then Rashi alludes what's going on to Ibn-Nachayev, that's not a sugya right now. So this is Shitas Rashi. So comes Tosfos in the 10th of the Rambam Kamos and asks the same question as Rashi, but comes up with a radically different answer. So comes Tosfos, let's say pick it up at the end of the second line, the 10th of the Rambam Kamos. V'im tamer ma'ishna de'evim minachai va'ov tamei v'gid v'sheretz chashive tfei beria minaveil etahora b'misasa b'kizayis v'loch chashive beria. Dov says, wait a second, we have so many examples that qualify as barriers. We have forgetting Ev Menachai. I don't want to get confused with Ev Menachai because it's a little complicated. We'll stick to Ov Tamei, Yiranosh Ev Arsugya, Shiratzim, the bugs, the Maseches Makis. All of these are subject to the rules of Beria. But Neveila, not. What's the difference? That was Rashi's Kasha, to which Rashi gave his answer, Tchilas Briyasa. And then, V'chein Tevel, L'chash L'Rabban and Beria B'Makos. And by the way, Tevel happens also not to be a barrier in Maseches Makos. So when are things barren and when not? The Shlomo says Tosos, he has the Yisod, a radically different shot than Rashi. The Shlomo says Tosos, time to time in the Hani. The Chi Omer HaChamona, Lo Seichel Gid, for Lo Sochel Of Tameh, the Chem Be'ev Menachai, Ki Ilu Piresh Ben Godol U Ben Katon, the Kulu Mikru Gid, the Of, U Bavach Yishleimim. Says Tosos, when the Torah says, don't eat a gid hanosha. How do you define a gid hanosha? The answer is a gid hanosha. An entire gid hanosha is called a gid hanosha. When the Torah says, don't eat the following birds, the Torah spells out the 24 birds. Don't eat it's a peres, nia, talei, fatinshemes, whatever bird you want. The Torah identifies with the proper noun, don't eat X. It's called a name. It's Shmoy Alav. Either don't eat a gid, don't eat a bug. The Torah says, don't eat a sheretz, a sheretz ala aretz. Don't eat the following. Don't eat a gid. Don't eat of tummy. Don't eat in a sheretz. But the Torah identifies the Issa with a word that literally defines the very essence itself. So then, kulumash for bengal bengotot. The word gid could mean a small gid. Some animals have little gids. Some animals have big gids. Some birds are little. Some birds are big. Some bugs are little. Some bugs are big. So since the Torah uses a phrase that refers to the item, the proper noun of this item, so that is when beria kicks in. Aval nevela. Chatichanal nashper nevela. The word nevela, you have to know Lashon Kodesh well enough, the word nevela means dead meat. That's what it means. It means meat of a carcass. That's what nevela means. So it doesn't have that mashmos of a dover shalem. So when it doesn't have mashmos a posuk, mashmos a krav, mashmos a teir, a dover shalem, then beria doesn't get off the ground. So unlike Rashi, who says that the difference between when beria applies and when it doesn't apply is a question of chronologically, was the isser around with chuz briyoso, or was the isser something that was chal later? So he says, no, that's not the fact. That's not the issue. So he just said, it's simply knowing diktuk, opening up chumash and understanding, does the word gid mean a whole gid? Does the word nevela mean a whole animal? And the answer is not the same. Gid means a whole gid. Sheretz means a whole sheretz, etc. Bug means a whole bug. But the word nevela just means a slice of meat. If you have a slice of dead carcass meat on the table, you would say, oh, hey, that's a piece of nevela. That's nevela. If you have a half a gid, you wouldn't call that a gid. If you have a half a bug, you wouldn't call that a bug. So those isurim that are presented.
How many chazer would we have to eat in order for us to be over?
Well, chazer, either if you ate a whole chazer, it happened to be a very little baby chazer, less than a kezias. But then there's another halacha that says that even when you have an item that's a beria and you didn't eat the entire thing, if you ate a kezias mimeno, you also chayav. So kezias works for chumer, not lakula. So if you eat a kezias from anything, that's for sure Yechai Malchus. But in addition to eating kezias, if you ate less than a kezias, but you ate the davar sholem, it's also called eating the item. So that idea, it's called eating the item.
It's kol shehu here. I thought the Torah's lashon was kol shehu, meaning even less than a kezias.
No, chatzis here is asur min haTorah. Midaraisa, it's also eating even the smallest amount. I'm talking about whether you eat Yechai Malchus. So every time I say asur, I really mean Chai Malchus. You're saying it just colloquially. It really means vis-a-vis Malchus. So Tosfos is great. Tosfos explains why Nevela isn't subject to the din of beria. But now Tosfos gets stuck.
According to Rashi, just to understand, according to Rashi, if you eat a chaticha of a chazer, why is that not a beria?
No. You have to eat a... Once something is labeled as a beria, once an isser lends itself to chuz beria, then you have to eat the whole beria. That's a given. If you didn't eat the whole
beria... No, I'm saying, but why be mechalic Why be mechalik between a chatich, according to Rashi, why be mechalik between a chatich of an oaf? Because it was mitchilas bria, so what's unique about an oaf that we said that a kol shehu of an oaf is, according to Rashi, a beria? Why is a chatich of a chazer not considered a beria?
No, mitchilas bria, again, when we say a kol shehu, it doesn't mean you take a chatich of the oaf. If you eat the whole oaf, it's a tiny oaf less than a kezias. If you don't eat, if you don't consume the entire item, then it's never buried. If I eat half a bug, it's also not buried. So there are two things. You have to first identify whether this is so lends itself to chazberia, and then you practically have to eat the entire berry in order to be chayiv. So if you could find me a chazer that's less than a kezias, you would be chayiv malchus eating that whole chazer as well. Okay? So now Tosa gets stuck with the Gemara about tevel. So Tosa says, so Tosa says, and now Baruch Hashem, we can understand why tevel is not a beria, because the Torah doesn't say don't eat grains of wheat. The Torah doesn't say don't eat wheat. The Torah says don't eat tevel. Tevel is a shame cloli. Tevel is like nevela. Tevel means all produce that wasn't mized properly is called tevel. So that doesn't lend itself to beria. The very definition of the issue of tevel doesn't lend itself to the parasha of beria. So Tosis is good. So Tosis is in good shape. They've explained away why nevela is not subject to beria, where all the others are. Tosis explains it all depends on the presentation of the word in the Chumash. According to Rashi, it all depends on whether it's something that's also mitchilas priyaso or not. So now...
So according to Tosfos, never mind, I'll wait till later. Okay, sorry.
But now we're gonna skip a couple of lines of Tosfos. Now Tosfos gets into a little bit of trouble because Tosfos says, now that we've defined what's necessary to meet the criteria of beria, there is something else that we shouldn't forget about, and namely, it has to be a beris neshama. It has to be something that's alive. How do we know it has to be something that's alive? Well, that was back to the sugya of yesterday. Remember, Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanim were fighting out whether beria applies to tevel or not, to a grain of wheat. So Rabbi Shimon says, yeah, if you eat a grain of wheat, you're chayav. And the Rabbanim said, no, that's not a beria. Why is it not a beria? The Gemara says, beris neshama ba'inan. You have to have, it has to be alive. If it's not alive, that doesn't lend itself to the parasha of beria. So Tosfos picks up on four lines to the bottom, same Tosfos, in the middle of the line. The Tosa says, "Hashta kosher, hare gid." We're going to leave that in Menachai. The chashiva beria, amalotalia milsa b'neshama. So Tosa says, "Wait a second." Tosa says, "You're going to tell me that there's an absolute criteria, chayk lo yavar, that in addition to all the other requirements, it has to be alive, it has to bear the neshama? It's partially not true. The gid nosh is not alive. The gid nosh is on the tail. It's not walking around. It's not a bug." It's not a whole live walking around, flying around bird. A Gidanosha is not. And therefore, how in the world can we say that a Gidanosha is subject to beria, which we have to say because that's our sugya. If we don't say that, we're learning the wrong daf. Agamar says beferish that Gidanosha is a beria. How can it be a beria? It's me missing that criteria of being alive. So Tosfos has already one problem in that Gemara in Maseches Matas. Gemara Matas says, "Beris Neshama Ba'inon," Agamar seems to contradict that. But then Tosfos has another problem. Tosfos says, why does the Gemara say in Makos yesterday, Sugya, that the reason why Tevel is not a beria is because you need Beris Neshama? Tosfos says, I have a much better reason. The reason why Tevel is not a beria is because the Torah doesn't say, don't eat wheat. The Torah says, shame, it didn't clearly, don't eat Tevel. Remember, according to Tosfos, the only time beria applies is when the Torah identifies the item, the object, in the pasuk. The Torah identifies, don't eat a bug. The Torah identifies, don't eat gid. The Torah identifies and says, don't eat a trace of bird. That's when the parasha of beria kicks in. When the Torah speaks about a general term, don't eat pasar nevela, don't eat tevel, so that by definition doesn't lend itself to the parasha of beria. So Tosfos now has two kashas on the same Gemara. So let's go back for a second. I'm going to go back to the eighth and Imam Kohen for a second to read it again and then appreciate Tosfos' two kashas. So the Mishnah said, "Kama yochel etav v'echayev, Rabbi Shimon amar kosher, chamam kezayis." I'm like Rabbi Shimon. Yetem modum li be'ochel amar kosher shu chayev. Don't you agree to me that eating a bug is chayev? Amulam reishu kibri yasa. So they said back to them, no, bug is different, it's a beria. Amulam achita achas kibri yasa. So Bishimon says, achita is also a beria. Why did the Rabbanan disagree? So the Gemara explained that no. Achita is not a beria. What was the reason the Gemara said? Because it's not alive. That was the reason that the Gemara gave. So that's the rule. Chita, not beria, because not alive. Tells that two kashas. Kasha number one is, first of all, that reason is not true. Because you see from the sugya of Gid Anosha, even things that are not alive can be called barriers. That's kasha number one. Kasha number two is, tells us, I have a better reason. I have a more correct reason why a chita is not a beria. Why didn't the Gemara say it? What's the more correct reason? Our theory suspects that whenever the Torah doesn't identify with an exact wording, exact phrase of this noun, this object, so that's not buried by definition. And the Torah doesn't do that by Teva. So it tells us as a double attack on the Gemara in Malchus. The reason the Gemara gives is wrong, and the correct reason doesn't appear in the Gemara. The Torah says, what's the Gemara talking about? What's going on? Why doesn't the Gemara give the right reason? Why does the Gemara give the wrong reason? So comes Tosfos with a startling stylistic teretz. So Tosfos continues back now to the tent of the Ramah Kamas. V'nu l'faresh, the Rabbanon l'divra b'shimim k'mahadvilei. Lidi don, afilu ha'vachita d'shama, lo chashiv alei beria. T'lo domi l'mefaresh k'defishis. El lidi doch t'chashvus l'beria, amaleistach taimu d'mefaresh, b'komokam lo domi l'nemolot l'moli k'neshama. So Tosfos, a very, very fancy pshat. Says Tosfos, there are two potential reasons why a chita shel tevel shouldn't be a beria. One is because of neshama. One is because it's not written explicitly in the Chumash as an exact phrase. Tosfos says there are two possible reasons. Tosfos says one reason is correct and one reason is incorrect. The correct reason, says Tosfos, is because it's not written explicitly in the Chumash as an exact phrase. The incorrect reason is because you require Beres Neshama. Why is it incorrect? Because it's against the Sugi Bakir Anosha. It also says when the Rabbanan, almost like playing with the Bishimin, when the Rabbanan and Bishimin were arguing one to another, the Rabbanan was said to Rabbi Shimon, listen, in our back pocket, we really truly believe that the real reason why it's not a beria is because of Tosa's true reason. Namely, it doesn't say it explicitly in the Chumash as an item explicitly. That's the emissary reason. But we're not going to present that reason. Why? Because we don't think you agree to that reason. We're going to give you another reason. What's the other reason? It's not a beres neshama. Even though, in our hearts and souls, we don't think that's the right reason. We don't believe in that reason. Because that reason is against the Gemara Bagid Anosha. But maybe you can argue that reason. Maybe you, Rabbi Shimon, will be swayed by our argument. Our real, true argument, we're not going to present to you because we don't think you're going to accept it. But we're going to offer you another counter argument, another reason why maybe the chita shouldn't be a beria, a reason of neshama, which, and I honest to goodness, don't really believe is correct. We're going to offer that as a suggestion to argue with you as well. A very, very difficult choice. It's just stylistically, textually so difficult. If the Rabbanu want to argue with Rabbi Shimon and they have two arguments, why don't you produce the correct argument? Why are you saying the wrong argument for? So Taisa shows you that this is almost like a little bit of a style of debate. That sometimes it's like l'shitascha, l'dvarecha. That they didn't think Rabbi Shimon would be swayed by their argument, so they offered another argument that would be more convincing to Rabbi Shimon. A very, very strange style of Gemara. And Taisa shows you that the Gemara once or twice in other places has a similar kind of a line of reasoning. Again, it's very, very difficult for us to understand from a textual, analytical point, from a textual point of view. But in terms of Lomdus, Taisa says, the real reason why chita is not a beria, the true reason, is not the reason that appears in the Gemara. The real honest-to-goodness reason is the reason that appears in the Tosfos. It's our reason because it's like Nevela doesn't say it explicitly. So Tosfos had to do a lot of dancing, a lot of maneuvering to explain, to get out of that Gemara very, very quickly. But Tosfos succeeded to the extent that Tosfos are comfortable saying that our reason is the emissary reason. And if you want to know whether something's a beria, you have to simply ask yourself one question alone, is that, is it something, if it's something that the Torah singles out and says, don't eat a gid, oh, that conjures up the image of a beria. Don't eat a bug, oh, that conjures up the image of a beria. Don't eat a tray for bird, that conjures up the image of a beria.
So when the Torah identifies among mammals, all right, I think the Torah identifies four specific by name. Right. You have a gomel, you have an arnebes, right. You have a chazer, you have, I think, I have one more.
Shofan, yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah. So does that mean those four are somehow different from all the other animals that don't meet the two simonim that the Torah presents?
You want to know, would there be a din of beria on other non, this guy eats an elephant. Would there be a din of a beria on an elephant? You would have to find an elephant smaller than a kazayas for that one, right? Right. But you mean conceptually, could you argue that since the Torah singles out these four, these are the only four that lend themselves to the din of beria? It's a fascinating question. I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. Okay.
So what I'm really asking is more than that. When we say that you need to hear it in the Torah b'feirush, does it mean the Torah has to call it by its proper name?
That's right. That's what Tosafos is saying, right? That's right.
And to give simonim that are perfectly clear to anybody who knows anything about animals, that's insufficient to be called b'feirush?
That's what it sounds like. For the purposes of beria, it has to be called by its proper name. That's what Tosafos sounds like to say, right? It's a fascinating idea. Again, I don't think we're going to have too many ramifications of animals that are less than a kazayas, whole full animals less than a kazayas. So the best thing I could come up with was little birds, but little baby birds, if you think about it, so the little baby birds are actually spelled out in the Chumash. Well, maybe it would be an interesting, Amina, what about a fish? You can have a very small fish that's a beria. So there, actually, the Torah doesn't spell out the names. The Torah does give you simonim. So I don't have to think about that. But
the same is true by insects. The Torah doesn't give us the name of every insect.
Right. It's interesting. Right. So there almost, it's like, you're right. I was thinking about that also. There almost the Torah categorizes as sheretz al oretz and sheretz oaf and sheretz amayim. So maybe that's almost like the d'shem dover. It's interesting. I hear your hesitation. I hear, totally hear. So again, so we have two very, very different approaches to Rashi and Tosafos. What forced,
I'm sorry. Why can you say Tevel, before something has a truma that comes out from it, it is Tevel. That defines Tevel. That's a unit of Tevel. Even a small piece of wheat is Tevel before it becomes edible wheat.
So I think the word Tevel is closer to the word Nevela in the sense of that it describes something on my table, non-maisit pradus. I don't say this is the apple of Tevel. This is the orange of Tevel. Torah doesn't say, don't eat an apple that wasn't maisit. Don't eat an orange that wasn't maisit. The shem kloli of Tevel is something that doesn't lend itself to the sugya berry. I think that's what Tosafos is driving at. From a vocabulary point of view. I think so. So what prompted Tosafos to, in a sense, toss out that Gemara Machas? The one thing the Gemara told us that you need in Beres Neshama, that he says, nah, it's not true. It's lav dafka. What led Tosafos to reject that requirement to Beres Neshama? Because they thought it was contradicted by Gid HaNoshe, because they thought Gid HaNoshe is the ultimate berry in our sugya. So the Ran happens to disagree with that. The Ran says, don't reject the Gemara so fast. Beres Neshama doesn't mean it has to be alive now. It has to mean it has to have been alive at one time. Gid HaNoshe was alive. Before Yeshech Dian, Gid HaNoshe was alive. So being alive doesn't mean alive by Shosham. It means you have to have been alive at some point. In contrast to the Tevel, it was never alive. The Chit was never, it's growing. It's a meh, but it's not a chai, so to speak. So only gids and birds and bugs are things that are considered to be Beres Neshama. So Tosafos machtevech, the sugya Beres Neshama, and said it was lav dafka, was incorrect. So the Ran says, no, it's not incorrect. It's very, very much correct. It really is true. So when all the dust settles, you have two different approaches in the Rishon Rashi against Tosafos. How do you define properly Beres? So now comes the Ran and almost sums up the sugya, and the Ran goes very, very much in the Ikvos Shittas Rashi, but just fine-tunes Rashi sheet a little bit. So the Ran begins on the 11th of the Mamakomos, gives you a little summary of what we've been talking about. Heavy Edea, the Lamikri Beri Yalab Gimel Tanoim. Three conditions have to be met before the sugya Beri kicks in. Now we know Beri is important on two levels. They're important on the level of Deraisa, vis-a-vis giving Malchus Bekulshu. And it's also important, according to most, on the level of the Rabbanan, the things are not bottled. That's how we got into the sugya Beri in the first place. So things are not bottled if they meet these criteria. So what are the three conditions necessary? Echad, shehei isura migufa. So the first is, it has to be an iser that's emanating from the item itself. It has to be something that is not coming min hachutz. It's not some kind of external problem. It's some kind of an internal problem. We'll have to see in a moment. The Ran's going to fine-tune what that means. Hasheni, number two. Shetei beres neshama. It has to be a Beres Teshuvah. The Ran refuses to give up on that Gemara. It's the only condition that Chazal tells us. The one condition that Chazal tells us explicitly, Tosha said, was Lav Dafka, wasn't really true. It was just said as a debate for Rabbi Shimon. So the Ran says, no, it's not. It's the real condition. Hashlishi Shetei Shleima. Number three, it has to be right now in the state of being complete. Namely, you have to eat the entire thing. It has to be complete. If it's chopped up into pieces, that's not called the burial. So two of the conditions are necessary to define whether this given Isser is subject to burial. That's condition number one. It has to be an Isser Migufo, whatever that means to exclude. And condition number two, it has to be a Beres Neshama. So condition one and two are necessary to define whether this particular Isser is in the ballpark of being a burial. And condition number three is necessary. Is it presenting itself as a barrier? Has something happened to it to lose its quality of barrier? So one of these two conditions would be Nisur Megufa Keitza. Kigon Gid Anosha. V'chayot Zeboshu also B'chilas Priyasai. So the Ran falls back on Rashi. And the Ran says, anything that's also B'chilas Priyasai means that the Isser is coming from itself. The Isser, the problem, is emanating from itself. Aval Tzipa Tahar V'chayot Zeboshu. She muteres. Alpha bishad is nafla. If I have a kosher bird, a kosher species of bird, but nebuch, somebody shot it instead of shechting it, that's called not an issa mipnei atzmai. Kevishadavar acha gorim lo leyasa lav beriyadi. Since something externally is creating the isser, the external here is the lack of shechita. It's the mice and nevela, killing the bird in a non-shechita manner that creates the isser of nevela. That's a dover acher. That's not called beria. Beria has to be something that emanates from inside. It's almost like lamashal. You have that in tumah v'tahara also. That there are fundamentally two different kinds of tumah in halacha. There's what's called tumah yetzel migufo. There are tumas that come internal. Let's say a woman becomes a nida. That's an internal tumah. A man becomes a balkari. It's an internal tumah. A person becomes a mitzuri. That's an internal kind of a tumah. Then you have other kinds of tumas that are tumas which are bam in hachutz. That means I touched the maze, I touched the sheret, I touched the nevela. So those are external, those are tumas maga, and there are many, many differences in halacha between the two. So you have that same kind of a model in Isurim. Some Isurim are Devarim Hanovim, they emanate from the chefs itself, and some are coming from the outside. So Gidanosha is internal, and sheret is internal, the oftami is internal, but nevela is external. I know that. I mean, like Mama Perkin, that's exactly what Gemara means in the next page. Also, tzipa dar bechayav bechoshu misas bekezayis tmei bechayav misas bechoshu. I know time. The tzipa tahora came into the v'achagron also the mikabel is chayav lebechoshu. So the Ran says that's the yisoda. Yisodos, you require that additional factor, and that's Rashi's. It's all going to be ikvas Rashi. So the Ran has defined for us what the first condition is, and that's Chayk Yavar, that's the Gemara. And then the Ran says, and this is supported by another statement, that's what the Gemara means in Masechet Zvachim. We spoke about the Gemara a little bit. If you have a Shoha Niskel, a Shoha that's supposed to be killed, it was Paskin, that's Chayav Misa for killing somebody. So that was also Bano. And it gets mixed up with a thousand other Shvarim. So all the animals are now also Bano. They all have to be killed. They all have to be. They all have to die because they're all also Bano. The whole sugya of brachin and lift lo beruba. Why don't we say that it's batel berov? Mishani b'alechem chishiv lo batling. The Gemara has a whole sugya as to why the live animal is not batel. And finally, the Gemara comes up with this theory that something that's alive is never choshev, it's not batel. So the Ran says daaske mishum chashivus b'alechayim, but mishum berialo. The Gemara did not say that the shor nisko is a beria. One thing we're just simply say the same way that a ginanosha is not batel because it's a whole unit. So to the Shoha Niskel is not bothered with the whole unit. No, the Gemara didn't say that. Kevin she'ein asur me'atzmav, because the Isser of Shoha Niskel was not until it wasn't born as a Shoha Niskel. It was perfectly healthy, kosher animal. It went ahead and it killed somebody, and now, based in Paschal, it's a Shoha Niskel. So that's like the Vela. That's something which is external. So, v'zeo t'nayim rishon, says the Ran. That's the first condition. That's not negotiable. In order to define whether you're subject to being the parish of Beria, it must be something that's asur mitchilas briyaso, something which is asur mitam atzma, internal problem, not something external such as nevela or shohanisko. So the Ran is definitely Be'ikvas Rashi, has touched up Rashi, explained a little bit, explained the nuance of the Lamdos of the Atzbo versus the Chumina Chutz, which is basically Rashi's description of Tchus B'Yosu versus an Issa that takes effect later. So if we met him in the next year, we'll have to pick up on the Tanai Sheni, and we met him on the Tanai Shlishi as well, to try to put together the last ends of the pieces of this Ran. So do we have the next Mamakomos was sent out yet?
Yeah.
Okay, so that should be Chetikana Rulis Kabin, if I'm not mistaken. Right, so Met Hashem, we'll try to finish the sugya on Friday, and maybe we'll get into the next sugya as well. Okay, let me just turn off the recording for a second.